You know, if I'm a teenager, part of the reason why I live is because I can get a summer job, right? we look forward to making some money cash. As teenagers. Cash, that's right. Cash money. And so, you know, as all of the typical large employers, the parks departments and, the Y and all these different, utilities or as I like to think of them as, you know, those places where we can all find those teenage summer jobs, they start to hire. We want to chat with you about what's really important for them about handling the money that they're going to receive.
And money can be a great motivator, no doubt. And it's funny how a little money in their hand or the possibility of money suddenly brings out a lot of different interests, just like going and getting a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does open up a lot of possibilities. And as parents, we need to remember that we're not only told to steward our money, but we're also told to steward our children and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So it's important that we're taking that active role in our teenagers' life and making sure that we're helping them understand how does money and God and work and all these pieces fit together. And we can really use it as a good theology lesson to teach them truths about God.
Exactly right, Brad. And one of the things we tried to do with our kids when they were growing up is remind them that money is not an end. It's just a means to an end. It's just a tool. And you write about that in your blog about this to show them money's proper position. Speak on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it perfectly. The money is not the end. And we need to make sure our kids are always going to learn by watching us. And we need to make sure that we're showing them money's proper position. So are we valuing money, or are our core beliefs and our beliefs about God and our relationships with other people, are those the most important things? And that's going to come out in the way that we make decisions. So I always like to say that you learn about a person, a lot about a person's character when money's on the table. So do we ever compromise our beliefs when there's possibly more money if we compromise those beliefs, or do we ever not value the other person as much as we value the money that's in the situation? And it's the way that we handle those two situations are going to greatly impact how our kids view money.
So as a parent, though, we always want to offer the best to our children. And sometimes that involves us saying yes, and sometimes that involves us saying no based on what's best for them. How can we speak to, you know, how do we not be afraid to say no to our children when it comes to money?
I think the way to avoid being afraid of saying no is to understand what happens if you never say no. And the kid that is always told yes and always gets everything they want never really appreciates anything. And it's only through hard, you know, having to work hard to get the things you want or being denied those things from time to time that gives us that ultimate appreciation of those things when we get them. If you look back at our own lives, some of the lessons we learned, the best lessons we ever learned were because of failure and because we had to overcome obstacles. Some of the things that we appreciated the most, the accomplishments that we appreciate the most, were the times when we had rejection after rejection or denial after denial, and then, you know, eventually we fought through those things and got them. So it's through the process of denial that we actually gain a greater appreciation. And again, when we look at the situations in life where it's just a constant yes, 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 number one, there may be a lack of appreciation. Number two, there's just that spoiled mentality, and entitlement can come from that as well. And that entitlement mentality can ultimately lead to a pattern of depression and ultimately sadness, because there never is any denial. There's never that greater appreciation for the things that you do get.
Wow, that's enlightening to think of that, the end result of never being told no. You talk also about letting our children and their spending decisions suffer the consequences of their poor choices. So if you're seeing a child who is buying a whole lot of candy early in the week and he's burning through it, and you know that the weekend's coming and nothing's going to be there, but let them suffer the consequences, right?
Yeah, and it's in what other area of life is it not a good idea to have practice before the real thing happens? And that's the way I like to look at children and money in the early phases, is let's let them have some practice. Let's get a little bit of money in their hands, let them make decisions, And while we can try to give them guidance, and, you know, with our kids, I like to at least try to feed into their decision-making process. And with little kids, maybe you take them to the dollar store and they have a dollar that they can spend there. And, you know, for, they're obviously going to find something that they like at the dollar store. So you let them buy it, and especially if you got a couple of children, some are going to regret what they got because they ultimately see that their brother or sister or their friend got something that they wish they would have gotten instead.
Yeah.
So there's that moment of regret. But if we're not learning those lessons at the early age, and that there's not an unlimited amount of money, so just like you said, if they spend their money early, they don't have it later to spend. If we're not learning those lessons early, what's going to happen when we become a teenager, or we actually move out of the house, and now all those decisions get a whole lot more expensive. So we're not talking about a dollar at a time. We're talking maybe thousands of dollars at a time. And if we haven't learned those basic fundamental principles of money, of, you know, regrets of bad decisions, or not thinking something through, not taking the time to make that decision, or even realizing that, you know what, I can't have everything I want because I'm on a limited budget. If we don't learn those lessons, we're in for some really expensive lessons later in life.
Well, that is very true. That is super well spoken. You know, how do we then help look at the opportunities to connect that dot between work and money in their minds, right? That's a challenge that we all have, right? How do we instruct them in that way of the relationship between their work and their money?
Yeah, and you know, you started with teenagers getting jobs. Well, that's a great example. But I think we can even start earlier than that. And I have no problem personally with giving our kids an allowance and putting a little bit of money into their hands so that they can make some of those decisions we talked about. But also, if they have something that's a little more expensive, giving them the opportunity to do specific chores or jobs to be able to earn a little bit more money. Because that's just teaching them something that they can, you know, that really does play out in real life. Because as an adult, if I've got a situation where I need to get more money, then I can always go look for additional work, assuming that I have the time to be able to do that. And that's basically what we're trying to teach them, is that work brings money, and work is not a curse. So again, this is that theology lesson that we can teach kids. Because if we're always grumbling about work and saying we can't wait to stop working, then we're looking at work as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But work wasn't a result of the curse. Work just got harder because of the curse. And we want to make sure that we're showing kids that, you know what, work is from God, and I can honor God through my work. And work brings money, and that's how I provide for the family. And it's the exact same thing for the kids. So we just want to make sure that we're always tying in that work and money come together. Nobody's going to just hand you money. So there is work involved in getting that. And then we can honor God through the way that we're doing that work.
We are talking with financial planner Brad Graber again on this Monday morning on Mornings with Kelly and Steve. I'm Tom joining them. You can find him at investingintruth.com. And Brad, you mentioned the A word, the allowance word. I was going to ask you that. It might even put my friend Steve on the spot here as well. Allow your kids allowances, and is it tied to chores or not?
We do not have allowances in our house. We do have chores.
That was for Brad, but go ahead, well, Steve, first.
No. Brad, they, you know, you said putting me on the spot, so I'm jumping in. We don't do that, but they have their chores that they just have to do as part of the natural household.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just being part of the family. All right,
yeah.
Brad?
Yeah, and we have our way, and it's not necessarily the right way. I like the idea that you're part of the house, so there are chores you're going to do, and it's not tied to money. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. That's just part of being a household and being part of a family. But again, we're looking for that way as well to be able to get our kids a little bit of money so that they can make those financial decisions. So we do give them an allowance of, you know, it's a very small amount, but at least puts a little bit of something into their hands so that we can then teach the principles of giving, saving, and spending out of that money that they receive. So it's just that process of trying to practice at that early age. But yeah, I don't want them to feel like, you know, they should be getting paid for everything. So that's one
entitled,
of the bad things that can happen with allowances, is if you're tying everything to, you know, you're getting this money because you're doing these chores, it can lead to that idea of, well, I'm not going to do anything unless I'm getting paid for it. We've got to make sure that we're not building that attitude in our kids as well.
Well, exactly right, and I'm so glad you mentioned that. And the second question I was going to ask is, of the allowance, do you take taxes out.
Ooh, nice.
Because our kids are growing up, when they started making money, they had a on the computer a spreadsheet, a budget, and sure enough, I made them take 15% out. Because it's going to happen the rest of their lives, and we let them set it aside. But speak to that aspect. How early do you teach them about the dreaded taxes and obligations?
You know, I've not done it out of an allowance, but I do it out of just other ideas. Of sometimes there's mom and dad, and we kind of play the role of government, so I almost do it jokingly sometimes.
That's
and
great. Yep.
Just play the role of the tax guy, and I'm going to take a cut of this, whatever. You know, it may be food at times, but
they
know that it exists.
A food tax.
There's two pieces of pizza left, and since I'm the government, I get one and a half of them.
Well, I like that. Well, what about avoiding giving them? Because just as we said, we want to avoid that that sense of being entitled. How do we avoid giving them a blank check then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one that I see a lot of problems with just in our society. That there's those big events that we want to make our kids feel great about, whether it's, you know, a huge birthday party at one of those key ages, or maybe it's the formal dance, or I especially see it at weddings, because people just get emotionally tied to these specific events, and we want our kids to get everything that they had imagined it could be, and we basically just, we don't define a budget, and we turn it over to them to make the decisions, and I think that's especially dangerous. Because instead of making wise decisions and stewarding the money that we have, we're basically putting our kids in a situation where they can go out and try to spend as much. And it's almost one of these things where instead of thinking, okay, is this a good decision or not, they're basically looking back at mom and dad and seeing how far can I push this before they blow their top because I went way too far. So it's teaching a kid to basically toe the line and spend way too much money on an event. And then the event's over and, you know, they probably didn't have any opportunity cost, but sometimes I see mom and dad having a burden of debt that lasts for months or years because they're trying to pay off this event and the event's gone. And what did the kid really learn about that relationship between money and an event or money and, you know, specific cost and stewardship? Because mom and dad basically just threw a lot of money at it and let them do whatever they wanted to do.